So, Supermoms, we asked for your opinions, and you've been delivering them. Can a woman be a mom, a supermom, and a world leader?
This is Chris from Brooklyn. We really need to be careful about who we are picking, and it can't be on the personality of one person. I'm in my late 40s, and I'm really thrilled about women making strides, but we have to stop and think. That's the operative word, think.
Stop and think before you call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. So have you ever heard an argument that can't be settled, that actually requires new information, where one side won't give, the other side won't give, and something has to give somewhere, but it just doesn't?
An argument's not the same as contradiction.
Can be?
No, it can't. An argument's a collective series of statements to establish a definite proposition.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It isn't just contradiction.
Look, if I argue with you, I must take up a contrary position.
But it isn't just saying no, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. Argument's an intellectual process. Contradiction is just the automatic gainsaying of anything the other person says.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
Not at all.
No, look.
Thank you.
There may be a ringing of the bell for physicists around the world who have been arguing for more than a generation about the nature of the universe, particularly the nature of gravity. When physicists flip the switch on the Large Hadron Collider, it's a 17-mile-long, multi-billion-dollar machine and argument settler, actually. It straddles the border between Switzerland and France. It's a giant atom smasher. And to explain just what it could do to end an argument physicists have been having about the nature of gravity and black holes and other fascinating things is scientist Brian Green, who is the head of the World Science Festival here in New York City and is the author of Icarus at the Edge of Times, among other books. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So how excited are you about the super colliders sort of energizing over the next month?
Oh, fantastically excited. We haven't had this kind of potential for breakthrough in our understanding of the fundamental forces of the universe in a very long time. It's a fantastically huge experiment with the capacity to revolutionize our thinking.
What argument might it settle if all goes well?
Well, there are a few arguments. One is, why do particles have the mass that they do? Why do things resist being moved the way that they do? And this machine has the capacity to settle that question. It also has the possibility of finding really bizarre-sounding things like microscopic black holes or extra dimensions of space or something called supersymmetry that's important to a field I work on, string theory. So there are a lot of ways in which this machine may really show us the next step in our understanding.
Is it possible, on the other hand, that the machine may poke holes in theories that scientists have been following for their entire careers? I mean, are string theorists on pins and needles here a little bit?
Well, I wouldn't say the string theorist per se. I'd say it's a long shot, an exciting long shot, but a long shot nevertheless that this machine will really test string theory. But there is another idea, this idea of the so-called Higgs boson, the Higgs particle. This is this potential explanation for why particles have the mass that they do. It's an idea that's been floated for more than 20 years, and this machine is the first machine that really has the capacity to show that this idea is right or wrong.
All right, let's back up for a second, Brian, sure. And help to explain that. If this machine detects this thing called the Higgs boson, it's actually going to teach us something about one of the most familiar forces in the universe, and that is gravity, right?
That's right. I mean, when we say that something has mass, what we mean in essence is that gravity can pull on it in a very specific way that we're all familiar with from everyday life. You drop a glass and it falls, it has mass, the Earth pulls on it. But where does that mass come from? The answer, according to this idea, is that we are all immersed in a molasses-like substance called the Higgs field. As we move in everyday life, we're moving through this Higgs field, we're moving through this molasses-like substance that pulls back on us, and that's why we have a difficult time moving. That's where our mass comes from. But if this idea is right, there should be a little piece of this field, a little nugget of it called the Higgs particle that should be found in the collisions that will take place at the Large Hadron Collider.
I feel like I'm in the Higgs field when I wake up every morning, and then after an hour or so and some coffee, I feel a little bit better.
Hey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning for me right now, so I feel that very well.
You're in a serious Higgs field. to explain, of course, the collider accelerates particles, I believe protons mostly, to the speed of light or close to the speed of light and creates energies that simulate moments after the Big Bang took place billions of years ago. Now, it's my understanding that there weren't a lot of people alive in the early seconds of the Big Bang. Are you worried at all about the consequences of that?
Well, you know, some people have floated ideas that maybe this is some kind of doomsday machine, that by recreating conditions that we've not seen before, that maybe we will do something to destroy the planet and beyond. And there's really nothing to that at all. The thing to bear in mind is...
But you don't want any black holes, like, spilling out and, like, you know, swallowing up Switzerland, right?
Well, we don't want them to swallow up Switzerland, but we definitely would be so excited to produce them. The thing to bear in mind is this is going to be the first time these incredibly energetic collisions will take place in a laboratory setting. But these energetic collisions take place in the universe, in fact, in our atmosphere all the time. Cosmic ray particles from space impinge upon the atmosphere all the time at energies greater than we can create in the Large Hadron Collider. It's just that it's not in an environment that we can easily study. So the fact that we have survived those collisions shows us pretty clearly that we'll survive the ones at the Large Hadron Collider.
All right. Brian Greene, physicist and author of Icarus at the Edge of Times, not worried at all about the end of the world, but very excited about the energizing and startup of the Large Hadron Super Collider at the CERN facility in Switzerland and France. Brian, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
If you are not as excited as Brian, or maybe more concerned than Brian is about the end of the world, we want to hear your scenarios for the end of the world. You know, it just occurs to us. 877-8-MY-TAKE would be a great way for you to talk to us about the end of the world and your concern. We're also talking about supermoms. Can women have it all in the 21st century? Can you be a mom and a world leader? Kyle says on our site, did everyone forget that Governor Sarah Palin has a husband and family support system that will take care of her kids while she's out on the campaign trail? My wife may work long hours, but she keeps them in the loving hands of her husband. That's just the same way I keep them in her care while I'm off at work. A mother isn't the only parent capable of loving and caring for a child. Here's your takeaway for this hour.
Perhaps in 10 or 20 years ago in time, we do have another Zimbabwe, and that is why it's important that we make these criticisms as well as give praise.
That was Richard Howitt, the European Union observer to Angola, talking about elections in that country and some fears and hopes about what might come out of those first elections in 16 years. And we got a response from you.
This is Caroline Jones. I'm calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Of course a supermom can be president. She's super. And I think that the same question could be asked of President Bush. Can he be president and still clean the brush on his ranch?
Does he have a clean ranch, that President Bush? Supermoms weigh in. We're making politics easy for you at The Takeaway on all levels. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.